Welcome back, everyone, to the Dear Taiwan podcast. My name is Teacher Joseph. On this episode, we will be continuing our map tour. This time, we're down south, in Jiayi, learning about all of the geographical intricacies of this city and county, from sea up to the high mountains. This time, on the Dear Taiwan podcast. So, there are a lot of ways that I thought about to begin talking about Jiayi, but I think I'll just start by saying that I really do quite like this place. Jiayi has a lot to offer the practical traveler, and the fishing ports and the coast are connected by only a 3-hour drive to the trailhead of the highest mountain in the entire country. Jiayi is characterized by a lot of different cultural influences, that of the aboriginal tribes up in the Alishan and Yushan mountain range areas, most notably the Tso tribe, to the Japanese development of the area in the early 20th century, all the way back to the early Fujianese and Guangdongese migrants to the area in the 1600s, which kind of resettled the plains and established the largest settlement, which would eventually grow into Jiayi City proper. Jiayi, like Hsinchu in the north, separates the core city from the county as a whole, thus having two separate municipalities. But for today, we will start on the coast with the fishing port townships of Budai and Dongshi. The coast in Jiayi County finally does start to get kind of beautiful. While there aren't really many beaches in Jiayi, and really all across Taiwan, there's not really many beaches at all, there are some really charming wetlands and quaint small fishing ports and different, well, fishing villages. Budai is the place where a lot of travelers in the past would get the ferry off to Penghu, Penghu being an archipelago to the west in the Taiwan Strait. But this town is kind of, well, seen better days as many travelers prefer to fly. But they did build a kind of tacky, funny, and cute roadside attraction, that of the High-Heeled Shoe Church, a giant glass stiletto shoe, which has a church inside where some people actually have had their weddings. Now, I haven't actually been here, frankly. It's a little bit too cheesy for my taste, but as you're driving past, it really does catch your attention. Moving away from the fishing ports of Dongshi and Budai, more inland, you will still see fish farms as well as oyster farms. In fact, you'll see giant trucks carrying plastic baskets of what might look like rocks at first, but they're actually unshucked oysters. Oysters, by and large, in Taiwan are kind of not so considered a super high-class food served in fancy restaurants. They're kind of like just an everyday kind of ingredient you might cook with, whether it's oyster fried rice or oyster omelets. So away from the fishing ports, you have a few settlements in the coastal plains amidst all the pineapple farms. You have Taibao City, which for all intents and purposes is just a small town, which also boasts the high-speed rail station. This is about 20 minutes to the west of the larger Jiayi City. Taibao City, nearby the HSR station, has the southern branch of the National Palace Museum, which is a companion museum to the large museum up in Taipei in the north. The Kuomintang soldiers really brought quite a lot of treasures and artifacts from ancient Chinese collections over with them when they fled the communist advancements and sought refuge in Taiwan. And over the years, after a lot more cataloging, the National Palace Museum up north decided to open a second branch down south. And I've been. It's definitely not as crowded as the one up in Taipei City, but it does have quite an impressive collection of different artifacts. Also on the plains of Jiayi County, pardon me, I will continue to flip-flop city and county as I'm recording this, you have the township of Xingang, kind of more towards the northern part of the county, across from Beigang. Beigang in Yunlin, Xingang in Jiayi. Xingang is famous for having the rival temple to Beigang, the Mazu Temple, which participates in the annual pilgrimage in which Mazu idols are carried down from Miaoli County and blesses all the townships and the residents of the coastal plains of Taiwan. You can visit Xingang Township and walk around. It's a really quaint small town, and locals are very friendly. They might even introduce some parts of the history of the town and teach you how to pray at the temple. Jiayi's county, despite it not being very populous, still does boast an active airport. Back in the day, back before the high-speed rail was built, air travel was actually quite prevalent across Taiwan. And this airport is located in the Shuisheng Township, bordering Jiayi City itself, sitting directly upon the Tropic of Cancer line. There's a monument to it nearby. Now, this is a military airport, but as far as I remember, last time I checked, there is still some air service between Jiayi and Kinmen Island, which is controlled by Taiwan off the coast of China. The future of this airport, I mean, frankly, it's a bit up in the air, but it is still a military airport, and you can see military jets flying above Jiayi City sometimes, as you can see in many places in Taiwan. One more notable place to mention in Jiayi County before we discuss the city proper is Minxiong Township, just to the north of Jiayi City. Frankly, it's quite close, and nowadays, with the expansion of parts of Jiayi City, they're a bit interconnected. Minxiong Township has National Zhongzheng University, which is a larger university down south. National universities in Taiwan are often considered to be some of the best universities because they are more long established, they can offer better programs, different from in the US where you have more prestige found in some private universities. There's also National Jiayi University nearby as well. Minxiong Township is famous for goose, and I could go on quite a long tangent about trying cold goose meat at this famous popular restaurant in downtown Minxiong and not liking it whatsoever, but if my wife is listening to this podcast, she's heard this tangent plenty of times. I wasn't a fan, but moving on. Minxiong also has what's called the Minxiong Ghost House, or Minxiong Haunted House. This is an older Japanese multi-floored mansion brick house, which is partially collapsed, but the exterior is still in pretty good condition. You can walk through it. There's some trees growing through the actual interior, some rubble as well, but it makes for a pretty cool photo spot. And whether or not the house is haunted, it depends on what you believe. There's also a place right nearby to get coffee at some recently built cafes. The building itself kind of sticks out from anything around it, as it's kind of around views of never-ending rice and pineapple fields. So, on to Jiayi City itself, which again sits right in the center of Jiayi County, right at the western foothills of the Alishan Mountain Range. Jiayi City was originally called Zhuluo, and the name was changed to Jiayi. The name Jiayi was bestowed upon the city by the Qing Emperor of the time, because during the Qing Dynasty in the 1800s, they were trying to exercise control over Taiwan as part of Fujian Province. However, Taiwan being an island across a very, very difficult to navigate span of water, the Taiwan Strait, well, it was a bit out of their control on a day-to-day basis, and there were uprisings that popped up by Ming loyalists, people who were still loyal to the previous dynasty, the Ming Dynasty. The most famous of which is the Koxinga Uprising, or Zhengqiangong, but Jiayi has a connection to the Linshuangwen Uprising, and I may be pronouncing his tones incorrectly. In fact, I most definitely am, but Linshuangwen was a farmer or fisherman in Kaohsiung, which at the time had been suffering from the effects of a pretty bad earthquake. This is documented to some credibility back in the 1800s, or possibly early 1700s. I'm going from memory here. Linshuangwen then staged some uprisings against local government officials to try and demand more compensation and support for repairing buildings and having, well, just basic services at the time in the wake of this earthquake. The local government officials either ignored or didn't pay out to the amount he wanted for the local communities, and he began to start a rebellion against the Qing Dynasty government, which was quite weak at the time on the island. He rounded up a few militias, and there were some clashes with local officials, When word got up to the Qing dynasty in Beijing, they did send some troops to try to quell the uprisings. And later on, the city of Zhuluo, which sided with the Qing emperor and caught Lin Shuangwen and helped to turn him in. And thus, Zhuluo was eventually renamed to Jiayi, which somewhat would translate as commended righteousness. Now, does this mean that the residents of Jiayi today have any kind of personal connection or affiliation to mainland China? Not in the least at all. Frankly, Jiayi and most of the South is very pro-independence, seeks and holds more of a Taiwanese identity, far separate from China. But at the time, the Qing dynasty did control, to certain extents, parts of the western plains of Taiwan, and that's the history of Jiayi's name. You'll notice that a lot of places in Taiwan have more names referring to, like, the land itself. For example, Taoyuan just means peach garden. Hsinchu means new bamboo, and it comes from Japanese. Taichung means central Taiwan. No imagination there, but it's pretty direct. Whereas Jiayi commended righteousness. Also, if you ever meet someone from Jiayi, you can call them a green bean, or more accurately, a mung bean. And this kind of nickname, this jest, this quip, comes from a popular old-fashioned dessert that is Lü Dou Jiayi Ren, or literally mung beans added to Job's tears, this kind of grain a bit like oatmeal or barley. And this dessert, the name is almost the same sounding as green bean Jiayi person, or someone from Jiayi, because person is Ren, and Jiayi Ren would be a person from Jiayi, and Lü Dou Jiayi Ren, well, it just sounds similar and it flows, and it's a common enough dessert where the name kind of got picked up. You will also see Lü Dou branded in some places across the city as well, and it's cute and by no means derogatory. Although, funnily enough, the dessert is not actually from Jiayi, and you won't really see it served many places at all if you're here. Now, while Jiayi City does have a pretty compact and walkable downtown, you definitely don't want to spend your time there walking around, what with the heat of the day, the lack of sidewalks, and scooters zipping every which way. Jiayi City has a central train station, which is the start of the Alishan Railway branch line, which the Japanese had built to log the interior of Jiayi County, most notably the famous, now very famous, Alishan Township and Alishan Forest Reserve. We'll talk about that towards the end of the episode. Also famous in Jiayi's downtown is the prominent Chenghuang, or Provincial City Temple, which is right nearby the Wenhua Street Night Market. It's about a 6-7 floor building temple with what used to be sweeping views of the area. Now you can just see sweeping views across other residential buildings nearby. But it does have some pretty interesting idols, a courtyard with some trees growing through the walls, and of course holds a lot of festivals across the year. Wenhua Night Market is one of the best places you can try Jiayi's famous dish known across the entire island, turkey rice. Now, braised pork rice, or lu rou fan, is popular to eat as a dish, whether a full dinner or just a side dish, across the entire island, and it may as well be one of Taiwan's national dishes. But Jiayi, little old Jiayi, is a bastion of turkey rice, and any Taiwanese will tell you about this. At some point in the past, possibly when U.S. soldiers were stationed in the country during the Cold War, turkey was introduced and some turkey farms were set up, and while it's nearly impossible to find fresh sliced or roasted turkey in the country, you will find quite a lot of turkey rice available in Jiayi. It is not dry whatsoever. It is often paired with fried onions and a pickled radish. It is really good, actually, and a nice change of pace from oily, fatty lu rou fan braised pork rice. Also in Jiayi City's downtown, you have some remnants of the Japanese era. You have the Japanese Jai City Prison, which is open for tours during most days of the week. Grounds are pretty well kept. It is a Japanese-style prison building, and you can learn some parts about the history of the building itself and what kind of inmates were kept there. Different from the Kuomintang prisons, which have a very, very tainted history that affects modern Taiwan up to now, the Japanese-era prison in Jai, as far as I know, is just a general prison. Nearby, you have the Hinoki Village, which are some renovated Japanese buildings with some quaint shops for souvenirs and some really kind of interesting but somewhat overpriced snacks available as well. Just across from the Hinoki Village, you have the Alishan Train Yard Park, where you can see a lot of older railway train cars from the Alishan logging area, some of which are manufactured in the U.S. by the Lima Corporation from Ohio as early as the 1920s. And if you're a train enthusiast, you can also see the older Alishan single-track railway go by, single-track in some places. And these train cars and train engines date back to the 1970s, as far as I know. It's a great place to take kids, and I like trains. Also in Jai City, I did mention turkey rice, but I also have to mention the burger chain called The Freen. No idea what Freen means, but it is a really good hamburger chain restaurant found across the country now, started in Jai, and the closest comparison to the U.S. I can think of is maybe Shake Shack, but, I mean, it's not really in terms of the flavor, it's in terms of, like, kind of the quality, and they have a lot more Taiwanese flavors of the hamburger. You can get peanut butter bacon hamburgers there. It's really good, and of all places, it was started in Jai, a city of about 400,000, not Taipei, a city of approximately 6.5 million. Other places of interest in Jai City downtown, you have the Jai Park and Sun Shooting Tower. The park to the east side of the city itself was originally a Japanese kind of Shinto shrine, which then later on had a more Chinese-influenced Confucius temple put inside the park. But a lot of the Japanese walls and, I guess, landscaping were kind of well-preserved. You have some of those kind of concrete Japanese-style false lanterns, false because they don't light them anymore. And you have the Sun Shooting Tower, which is this massive building with restaurants and art galleries at the top that allow you to see a view over Jai City all the way out to the ocean on a clear day. Now, this is the second reason why I won't consider moving to Jai, though I do like it so much. Air pollution in this part of the country, Jai, Tainan, Kaohsiung, Yunlin, Pingdong, is pretty bad. There's a lot of heavy industry in Kaohsiung and a lot of kind of smaller factories around on the western plains that make a clear day where you could see the coast all the way from Jai Shooting Tower, Sun Shooting Tower, pretty rare. But right next to the Jai City Park, with all the Japanese influences, is yet another Japanese influence, the Jai Baseball Field. When I first got to Taiwan, there was a popular movie that was produced and released called Kano. Kano not being Chinese, Kano being a Japanese word for a place or a team. Because during the Japanese era of Taiwan, baseball was in full effect, as it still is in today, in Japan and Taiwan. And at one point during the Japanese occupation, a local baseball team from little old Jai City worked its way up through the championships that year to even be brought up to Tokyo or the Japanese mainland to compete in the national championships. They eventually lost, but their legacy kind of as underdogs lives on in this part of the city because, I mean, this is the equivalent of a minor league baseball team from a place as small as, I don't know, Springfield, Illinois, working its way up to participate in a championship and face up against whatever the minor league team that supports the New York Yankees is. Something like that. And you'll see some monuments and statues of the Kano baseball legacy and the posters from the movie still around the city to this day. I wouldn't say it put Jai on the map, but it definitely brought some attention to the city. Also in the city itself, you do have that National Jiayi University over to the west, sorry, the east part of the city, and you have two reservoirs. You have the Zhenyitan Reservoir and Dam and the Lantan Scenic Area Reservoir. Both are quite small, but they're some nice places to get a breath of fresh air and kind of take a dip into nature if you are in the city downtown. Two more places I would like to mention in Jiayi City. There's a famous tile museum. I don't know if Jiayi City necessarily had a tile industry, but this museum, it is on the main road downtown. There will be lines of people out the door waiting to go into this very, very small museum of hand-painted tiles. The tiles look absolutely beautiful, with a lot of floral patterns and a lot of old-fashioned technique, but it is really funny seeing 20, 30, 40 people sitting on the sidewalk outside of this very, very, very small, it looks like a shop, just to go into this tile museum. It's popular across the island. The last place I'll mention in Jiayi City downtown is probably the tea shops. Now, Tainan probably has the most tea shops, but you go to Jiayi, you're going to have their own versions of mixed drink tea shops. Some of my favorite would be Gama Yoyo for the funny name, but also Make Juice or Meike Guozhi, which will offer a lot of freshly pressed fruit juice and fruit tea or across the whole year, and they're only found in Jiayi. A lot of cities in Taiwan used to have their own branded chains of tea shops, but more recently, companies like Coco or Usilan or even Kumbai have kind of taken over the whole island. Jiayi still has a few more of these local chains that you can, take a drink at. That's about it for Jiayi City. There's a few more local museums that I've found quite interesting, but to the practical traveler who's just stopping by, might not. There's some art pop-up shops nearby the main train station downtown, and there's, of course, a department store, a movie theater, all your usual things necessary in a city of about 300,000. Up next, we'll talk about the mountainous parts of Jiayi County. Jiayi City sits at about 200 meters elevation from sea level. The road leaving Jiayi City headed eastward, Route 18, will eventually reach about 2,400 meters. This road rises rapidly into the mountains of the Alishan and later Yushan or Jade Mountain ranges. These are two of the shorter mountain ranges in the country, but they are distinct mountain ranges by geology, and they span from Nantou in the north down to Kaohsiung and Pingtung in the south, with Jiayi County accounting for the bulk of the, well, the interesting places and activities available to the practical traveler. The mountainous townships of Meishan, Zhuqi, and Fanlu, and I may have my tones wrong, kind of extend from the start of the hills all the way eastward up towards the high mountainous areas of Alishan. These three townships, which you will definitely pass through on your way to Alishan, are big tea-producing areas, just like Lugu from Nantou, which we discussed in a previous episode. You will see a lot of farming, farm equipment, tea fields, which are quite picturesque, you can walk through, a lot of restaurants with scenic views over sweeping mountain valleys below you, some Aboriginal cuisine if you seek it out, a lot of tour buses, a lot of fancy cars, and a lot of Taiwanese traveling this area looking for views more so than hiking. The roads are quite windy, but definitely worth it for the passenger to get these amazing sweeping views across valleys below. And you will also encounter what's called the Sea of Clouds, which is a very, very dense set of clouds below you as you look down into the valleys across the different mountains that you can see. We'll start towards the northern part of the county at Meishan Township, which, if you go through Meishan following the route number 162, you will climb up a road which has 18 switchbacks and encounter the Taiping Suspension Bridge. This has no connection whatsoever to Taipingshan in Ilan. It just happens to be the same name by coincidence. And this suspension bridge is quite a long suspension bridge spanning a kind of not super deep valley below, but it allows you to have some great views looking westward across the Jiayi Plains. This is a pretty big tea-producing area, and after you stop by the suspension bridge, you can also stop by the Taiping Old Street, and you can get some agricultural products. I remember distinctly getting snap peas there. Further afield down the 162, you will pass by a few different waterfalls and eventually get to the areas of Rei Li. These are very, very steep hillsides, very, very winding roads. Not a lot of hiking, but there is a lot of beautiful tea fields you can see. You can sample a lot of this high-quality tea at tea shops with farming equipment parked right in front. Talk to some of the farmers who will be speaking mostly Taiwanese. If you continue on the 162, you will eventually cross into Alishan Township, which is the northern extent of Alishan Township, which the township itself kind of runs north-south, and it is characterized not by tea fields, but more so by Aboriginal culture and the past logging activities. The highest waterfall in the entire country, if not the highest waterfall in all of East Asia, is actually located right here in Alishan Township, Jiayi County, called Jiaolong Waterfall. I don't have an actual figure of exactly how tall it is, but I do know that unfortunately it doesn't count in the official measurements because it does sometimes dry up. I've looked it up now. It's about 400 meters tall, and looking at it from afar, it will look like a waterfall with several levels or terraces cut into it. If you go to this area after a typhoon, which, of course, be very careful of the roads, but if you do go, you will see an impressive waterfall, 400 meters tall. Who can beat that? Apparently, no other waterfall in East Asia. So, Meishan is the northern township, which spans from the Jiayi foothills up to the high mountains. In the middle of Jiayi County's mountainous and hilly area is Juqi Township, which again has a lot of tea-producing industry, but Juqi Township has Fenqihu Old Street, which is a really great place to base yourself if you're really going to be focusing on this area exclusively. Fenqihu Old Street is the old train repair garage, and the old street itself kind of has a lot of really quaint shops as well as some old farmhouses, and is somewhat famous, and the Taiwanese do throw the word famous around quite a lot, for its lunch boxes, which will cost you a pretty penny, maybe over 140 NT dollars, and they're famous for having both pork and chicken. I know, scandalous, right? For feeding all of those hungry railroad workers, because back in the day especially, a lot of those trains took a lot of maintenance. Fenqihu is quite steep driving up and quite steep walking around, but there are some cafes and, like I said, some really, really cool shops that sell some interesting foods, snacks, and souvenirs. Just nearby Fenqihu Old Street, you're beginning to get a lot of old growth trees that withstood the Japanese logging era. There's a quick hike in this area called Da Dongshan, or Big Freeze Mountain, and you can get an amazing sunset view overlooking a train track somewhat across a sweeping valley below at the peak of Da Dongshan. I remember hiking it in the evening, and hiking down at sunset wasn't too dangerous or treacherous because the trail is pretty well maintained, and quite wide. But if you haven't caught the drift yet, you're in a very, very steep area altogether. So do expect some incline. So Fengxihu is the most interesting place in Juqi Township, but if you are to tour this whole area, please do take the train. It can be quite hard to get tickets, and the train tracks which go from Jiayi City itself all the way through Juqi Township, with many, many stations still active, some discontinued because they were only used by loggers, the train tracks themselves will be incorporating switchbacks, in which the train goes forward along a hillside, stops eventually, the tracks are realigned, and the train will begin to back up to go up a different track as if it's kind of climbing a mountain back and forth. So on your Alishan train journey, you might need to spin around for fear of getting car sick, well, train sick. Fengxihu isn't exactly on the main road. If you were to be traveling up the 18 from Jiayi all the way to Alishan, later to Tataja, you're going to be traveling through Fanlu Township. Now, my tones are definitely wrong. Fanlu means something like Savage Road, which sounds a little bit controversial to my ears, but I might have a mistranslation. Fanlu Township has the villages of Shizhuo, or what could translate as Rock Table, which has a lot more junctions and restaurants and shops for tour buses. And my friend Hannah will tell you has some of the best wasabi tofu she's had in her entire life, as well as tea oil fried chicken. Now, yes, they do produce a lot of tea for beverage consumption in this area, exported across the world to China, the US, etc., etc. But you can get things like tea oil, possibly even tea leaf salad in this area. A quick hike up the 18 in Fanlu Township is Yanping Trail, more so for the views itself, not so for the challenge. But before you go up to Alishan Township proper, you might turn down the hill on Route 169, just at Shizhuo. You'll pass by what's called in English Yuyupas Culture Park. I haven't actually been, but this is a DIY culture park, cultural venue for the Zhou tribes to introduce their culture and customs to Taiwanese tourists. I've heard it's actually pretty ethical, as it does employ quite a lot of the Aboriginal tribe members themselves. But if you were to keep going down the 169 road, you'll get to the Aboriginal villages of Dabang and Tefuye. I'm pronouncing them with a more Chinese inflection, but those are not Chinese words. They're of the Zhou language. Now, these two villages are kind of Zhou strongholds, and they both have central kupa buildings. And these are old-fashioned, open-air, wooden and straw structures reserved only for male members of the tribe to enter to discuss, tribal plans and planning tribal ceremonies, discuss probably different hunting activities, and even possibly discuss marriages. Now, back in the day, the Zhou tribe were some of the fiercest warriors in the entire country, and it's said that these traditional kupa structures still do have human skulls on display inside of them. But out of respect, you are not allowed to enter. You can peer in, but obviously it's their traditional building, kind of set for sacred or culturally significant activities, and you may peer inside, but please don't enter their kupa building. Aboriginal villages across Taiwan, whether it's the Zhou in the central part of the country, the Atayal or Taiyan in the north, the Paiwan in the south, the Ami in the east, a lot of them are flanked by churches. Presbyterian missionaries did make their way to Taiwan and converted a lot of Aboriginal tribes and tribe members to Christianity. Some of the cool parts about these churches are that a lot of the ones still in existence today were constructed with Aboriginal architecture in mind, nothing too westernized. So you will see a church with some intricate stonework or some exterior artistic designs that is true to tribal culture as well as true to Christianity. From Tefuye, which sits across from Dabang, you can actually hike a trail all the way up to the Tatajia Mountain Pass, which marks the border of Jiayi and Nanto counties, on the way to what would eventually be the trailhead of Jade Mountain. So leaving Tefuye and Dabang, which, by the way, you can stay there overnight, but there's not a whole lot of food options there unless your guest house actually has meals available. You will head back to Route 18 and head towards Alishan National Forest Recreation Area itself. This was kind of the prime focal area of Japanese logging activity back in the day, and nowadays it makes for a really astonishing set of hiking trails, and the old growth trees that are left in this forest, which is covered in moss, often has fog that blocks your vision and really silences a lot of background noise. Alishan really is something out of a Hayao Miyazaki film. It's really mystical and magical. The old growth trees that are left are some of the more kind of obtusely grown trees that the Japanese didn't think were worth logging. And a lot of them have interesting shapes creatively described. And yes, the trails are kind of well taken care of and manicured almost, but there is a school, there is a village, there are hotels, and there's still the train all the way from Jiayi City up to Alishan Forest Park. You can book a train to arrive and see the sunrise. Many people do, and they will tell you straight up that it is the most magical sunrise in all of the country. Unfortunately, the one time I got up and booked a small, very, very small tour to go to a sunrise viewing spot, it was overcast, and I swore that I will never again be suckered in to getting up just to see a sunrise. Nevertheless, this area is absolutely gorgeous. I've said that time and time again. There are canopy walkways that are built up. There are old train tracks reconverted into trails. And the sensation of being surrounded by fog and mist that blocks out all background noise among old growth trees covered in moss is just something almost otherworldly. You do have to pay a fee to go in because it is a national forest reserve, but you don't need to spend the extra top dollars to actually stay in Alishan Forest Reserve itself. You can stay nearby in, again, Shijua, Fanjihu, somewhere more affordable. And it is definitely one of my top 10 places to visit in Taiwan. Even just speaking about it now makes me kind of miss it. Okay, I can go on at length about Alishan. I can talk about how there are abandoned railway lines that were only used for logging that you can hike further afield into the forest outside the park boundaries. I can talk about how there's been some landslides on the opposite side of the forest reserve, and if you were to fly a drone, which I'm not sure you can, you would see kind of an interesting contrasting landscape. I can talk about how you will see Reeves muntjac, barking deer, as well as even sorrow in parts of this area. But we must move on to what is the crown jewel of Jiayi County, and that would be Tatajia, or Tataka, Recreation Area. Now, it has been said that if you want to see how humans have made a life for themselves perched on precipitous hillsides, go to the Alishan area. If you want to see Taiwan's real nature in pristine form, go to Jade Mountain National Park or Yushan National Park. So Yushan National Park straddles four counties, Nanto, Jiayi, Kaohsiung, and Hualien. The Jiayi portion is only really the popular tourist trail and entry to the peak itself. The trailhead and this part of the land, the river does flow down into what will eventually become Kaohsiung. So Tatajia is a tourist forestry visitor center area with two short hikes, one being Lulin Mountain. The other one, the name escapes me, but it sounds kind of similar with an L sound. And you can hike through what is either called arrow bamboo or Yushan cane, this really, really dense grass that flanks both sides of the trail. And as you approach some of these really short peaks from the Tatajia Visitor Center entrance, maybe 45 minutes to an hour up, you can get a view of Jade Mountain. And the one time I stopped by and just walked the visitor center trails with my friend Matt, we did actually encounter a few clusters of Reeves Muntjac and barking deer. They're quite short. They're about the size of like a pet dog, and they make a funny noise, hence the name barking deer. There's not really any more restaurants or lodging in this area unless you are signed up with a hiking tour up Jade Mountain. But the road is really well-maintained, high-quality, and suitable for tour bus traffic as well. And you will notice a stark contrast between the old-growth, mossy, and foggy forests of the Alishan Range. They're contrasted with the Jade Mountain Range, which, well, is much rockier, has a lot more arrow bamboo or Yushan cane at the top, and doesn't seem like it's out of an old-fashioned Warriors movie. I'm going to stop here talking about Tatajia and Jade Mountain. Just know that if you are to hike Jade Mountain, most expeditions or excursions do begin here, and this is the easternmost point of Jiayi County. So while we've gone from the fishing ports of the coast all the way up to the highest mountain in the country, believe it or not, we're not done. There's still one more place to talk about in Jiayi, and one more place that the practical traveler might want to visit. If you've been looking at the map, you know what I'm talking about. The largest reservoir and lake in the entire country is actually located in Jiayi, kind of just south of the Route 18 or Fanlu Township. And this is more towards the Tainan and Kaohsiung side, and it's called Zengwan Reservoir. And if you are to drive here from the mountains itself, you will connect through some really treacherous concrete roads that get really steep from Route 18, connecting down to Route 3. I don't recommend you drive the Jia 131 because your vehicle will really be in for quite the ride of its life. But this, again, is the largest reservoir in the entire country, much larger than Zengwan Lake, in my opinion, much more beautiful. And while it is equipped for a little bit of tourism, with some water activities depending on the conditions, it's not necessarily that popular, which, well, for many people is actually quite a good thing. The small town, or almost village, of Dapu has some fish restaurants for freshwater fish that are either farmed or caught in this reservoir. This reservoir does kind of show the land underneath when it's dry, quite a lot actually. If you go when it's full, it really does look quite quaint, nice, and peaceful. Finally, I'll say that it kind of takes maybe about a half an hour to drive along the Route 3 from the south to the north part of the reservoir. And before you enter the southernmost point of Alishan Township, you will pass by Qingyun Falls, which is quite a beautiful waterfall you can see on the roadside. Even hike up to and take a swim in the pool below, depending on the conditions. Just above Qingyun Falls, on the southernmost point of Alishan Township, you have Chashan Village, or Tea Mountain Village, with a really nice community center, a few restaurants nearby when they're open, and some guest houses you could actually stay at. Though, don't get this confused, it's not really very close to Alishan Forest Reserve itself. It just is another Aboriginal stronghold, so it falls underneath the jurisdiction of Alishan Township. I highly recommend Tsungwan Reservoir for any kind of kayaking activities, if it is open and accessible during that time and that season. Yet another place in Jiayi County. So with so many things to offer, a city of 300,000, universities, goose farms and turkey rice, tea plantations, Aboriginal tribe experiences, high mountain hikes, as well as forestry excursions, and one cannot forget the tea shops, Jiayi really does have a lot to offer. The only reasons why I wouldn't ever consider moving to Jiayi, like I've talked about before, the air pollution, and of course, the heat. With the Tropic of Cancer bisecting the county, it's almost amazing that Jade Mountain still does get snowfall. I hope that everybody listening does visit Jiayi if they indeed come to Taiwan post-COVID. It really is an underrated spot in Taiwan, has a lot of interesting culture and history. Contrasted with a place like Taipei or Taichung, I really call Jiayi real Taiwan. And Jiayi is a lot of Taiwanese hometowns. Whether or not a Taiwanese person you meet working in Taipei has a grandma still living in Jiayi, or whether or not they go back there on the weekends to visit family and reconnect with their roots, Jiayi really is underrated. Thanks for listening. And that's all today on the Dear Taiwan podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this quite long-winded, but I hope, interesting episode about Jiayi. Much later in the podcast, I'll post an episode detailing the application process to be approved to hike Jade Mountain and other mountains as well, and I hope you will return and tune in to that episode. Thanks again for listening. This has been Teacher Joseph. Up next, Tainan. Next episode.